N-A-S-A-P.
Oh, it's just 9:15, that's fine. Good morning, Rabbi Sai, welcome back from all your holidays.
Mr. Faust is related.
Yeah, Mr. Faust is our special guest. Mrs. Faust could have come, she could have sat on this side of the mechitza. Okay, so Rabbi Sai, I've got here an old copper plate drawing of Matan Torah. Okay. Can I borrow that card for a minute? I'll give it back to you in a minute. Yeah? An old copper plate drawing of some probably non-Jewish artist. And you get a lot of these pictures. And Lechoya, I want you to tell me what's wrong with it. Okay? It's got Har Sinai. It's got the clouds. It's got the fire. It's got the koilos of Rokim. It's got the shofar. It's got loads of trumpets on the top of the picture.
So it doesn't have the Torah.
You've got Moshe standing at the top holding the Luchos. You've got the fence around the mountain. And you've got the Bnei Yisrael standing at the foot of the mountain. Okay? So you've got all the ingredients there. Moshe with the Luchos standing at the top and all the sound effects and the visual effects and the mountain and the fence and the Bnei Yisrael at the bottom. What's wrong with the picture?
I can't see it.
What?
I can't see it.
You can't see it. Okay, you can have a closer look. Okay, but in any event, a picture that's got all those ingredients, what's wrong with it? Okay?
So
what I want to say is as follows. We're going to take a little break from Hilchos Lashon Hara till after the Yomim Tovim in order to learn Menyone HaChag. There's Ninyan, obviously, a Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag learning. And with Dudi's permission, this is also Lizchus Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Shtaver Fur Shleima Bekorov. And with this permission, we've been doing nearly 2 years straight of Hilchos Lashon Hara and Rechilos. So we'll take a short break till Cheshvanim Yitzchem, and then we'll return to Hilchos Rechilos. So the question is now, we're going to be learning the halachas of Slichas and Shofar in Elul. And the question is, what's the problem with this picture? It's got all the right ingredients. Yeah, it's got all the right ingredients. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Luchos, the Onon, the clouds, the Kodos of Rokim, the Nisor standing on the bottom, the fence, etc., etc. What's the problem with it?
The shofar.
What? The shofar's not the problem. The shofar's on it. Yeah, there's loads of shofars on the top. Well, okay, let me tell you, because, it sounds like nobody's going to guess, and you think this is a traditional cheder picture. Yeah, this never happened. This picture never, ever happened, right? There were two events that took place. There was one event that took place, which was Matan Torah. Moshe with the Luchos happened 40 days later. At the time when there was Koilos of Rokim and Onon Kovet, and the Rabbeinu Shem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and the Rabbeinu Shem said, Lo Yiyeh Lecha, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't on the mountain with the Luchos. That happened later. All the pictures of Shavuos, etc., they show there, Moshe Rabbeinu standing at the Luchos, and all the sound effects, and the Yisrael, and the fence, and all that. Yeah, that all that was gone, right? By the time when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, the Bnei Yisrael at the bottom, and there was the Egel Azov, yeah. But this picture of Moshe Rabbeinu standing during Matan Torah with the Luchos at the top of the mountain never ever happened. This picture is a fiction, and there are hundreds like it online if you want to have a look of what Matan Torah is supposed to have looked like, Moshe Rabbeinu bringing down the Luchos. So therefore, let's get clear. Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain for 3 times 40 days. The first time he went up was on Vav Sivan when the Rabbeinu Shem gave the Torah. Rabbeinu Shem gave the Torah without Moshe Rabbeinu, without the Luchos. The Bnei Yisrael was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. They're the ones who heard the Noichi Elohi Elecha and said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't take the sound anymore, we can't survive. And therefore, will you please go up and listen to the Rabbeinu Shem and come and relay it to us afterwards. That was Matan Torah. All we heard was the voice of God, nothing more. No Moshe Rabbeinu, no Luchos. And then, 40 days later, when Moshe Rabbeinu had spent 40 days up in the mountain, and he came down on Shiva Osa Batamos, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain with the Luchos, holding the Luchos, and that's when he smashed the Luchos. That's the end of the first 40-day period. There are two more 40-day periods that we'll identify tomorrow, and then we'll get on to Hilchos, Slichos, and Tkiyah Shofar.
The good news is that after the Shia, we'll make a Rosh Chodesh collection, a little bit belated because we weren't here Rosh Chodesh, but donations always welcome.
Don't give up, huh?
Started at Turaway, Northwest London, Sunday. Hey, Elul, 8th of September. Rabbi Aaron Faust, Shlita Yemes Moshiach. This week's Torah is sponsored by the Smutzalism of Zevi Friedlander, Mary Yor, and Elisha Bittan, Shatekia, which will take place in Mr. Shem on Tuesday. He wrote Sven Shimnu Bias, Neymar, Yisrael, the Shem, and Silo. And today's sponsorship is also on the Yad site of Lili Nishmas, Rav Shlomo, Ben Rabora Panachem, who was a regular attendee at the Shia.
Good morning. You know, usually that's, understand the shares usually downstairs. If Sunday is upstairs, bring up the stairs. Yeah, it says in this week's parsha, last week's parsha, come to Valisa, ki poli v'chadovi, you want to hear Devar Torah, come to Valisa, there's the Indian to go up to hear it. So we're carrying that Indian of going up. I reminded myself, there's a story, I think it was the Rogachover, who once went to visit Rameh Simcha Medvinz, the Meshach Chochma, and he to go up to his house, also he had to go up loads of stairs, and he was an old man, he was creeping up the stairs, and he gets to the Meshach Chochma, and he says to him, says Rameh Simcha, he says, your milas are steps, your milas are my chasroinus. Yes, I wanted to mention that. Also, I'm going to mention a vort. The cover the yotzad. Yesterday was Meshach Chochma's yotzad, so we're going to say, mention a very big, nice chiddush, original chiddush from the Meshach Chochma. Before we start, just like to, maybe it's a little bit connected to what we're speaking about. We start now Chodesh Elul, the capital tenem, we say at the end of davening, Dovah Hashem Ori. And in the middle, as a thought, like to share with you a thought that I had, the pastor goes, says, in Tachnit, I'm talking like Milchomo. And then it says, to come to the Bais Hashem, to be in the Bais HaMedrash. And then it says like this, it says, Hashem, you will hide me, you will guard me, you will shelter me in your Sukkah. He was referring to the Bais HaMikdash or the Bais HaMedrash, it's also Bais HaShem Mikdash Ma'at, B'yoyim Ro, on the day when it's bad. Yastireini, you will hide me, b'seitzeh oloi, again, you'll take me under your refuge, in bad times, dangerous times, I'll be under your wing, b'tzur yoremeini. So I had a thought, we all know, experience it day to day, the outside, the forces, the evil forces, all the influences, negative influences that are outside, that we encounter day to day. Yoim Ra, it's a p'china of Yoim Ra. There's all different evil forces trying to take us away. The Koyach HaRa is trying to take us away from Avodas Hashem, from the right direction. When a person comes into the Bais Medrash, the number one is, in the Bais Medrash, Baruch Hashem, there's no evil forces, there's no... just being in the Bais Medrash, actually just coming into the Bais Medrash, you're already refuge. That's Kitz B'neini B'suka B'yoim Ra. If a person finds himself in the Beis Hashem, wherever it is, the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMedrash, he is now in Beis Hashem. That's a mile amongst itself. However, that's not enough. But so you're a meini, va'ato you're in Roshi. If I'm already in the Beis HaMedrash, I will grow there, and I will. It's not just I'm here because I'm not outside. That itself is a great, great thing. But once you're already in the Beis HaMedrash, you're in Roshi. Al oivas voisai. I will flourish. And get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have this Milo being Bais HaMedrash is that we're not outside, and we also, in the Bais HaMedrash, we will grow, many, we will flourish, as you say, and we will grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in itself. That's the a thought that I would like to share with you. Maybe we'll try to connect it a little bit. Oh, there is a very interesting, we'll start with the Pasuk in the Torah, and we'll quote you a Rambam. The Pasuk in this last week's Pasha, Sunday, was still mentioned last week, now maybe we might go on to Kiseitze. Is the Pasha of Orem Miklat, which is found in the Torah many times in the different various Pashas. And this week we have a Chiddush in the Pasha of Orem Miklat we don't find anywhere else. It says, everybody knows, Moshe Rabbeinu, before Eva Yaden, there were three, he was told, commanded by Orem Miklat, he already, Oz Yagel Moshe, he designated three cities Orem Miklat in the Eva Hayaden. Orem Miklat was, as we all know, if a person kills somebody v'shoigeg, then the Goyal Hadam relative is allowed to kill him. However, he runs to the Orem Miklat. And in the Orem Miklat is a refuge from the anybody who wants to go and do evil to him, or evil or revenge, whatever you want to call it, and kill him. So he runs to the Miklat. And Moshe Rabbeinu had already designated three cities in the Eivat Yarden, even though it was not relevant, the Ohr Miklat, until they actually went into Eretz Yisrael and they designated the other three Ohr Miklat. But that was the first stage in the parsha of Ohr Miklat. Afterwards, they went into Eretz Yisrael, and then, that's this week's parsha, we commanded Sholosh Orim Tavdiloch. Another three cities of Ohr Miklat were designated in three parts of Eretz Yisrael, and they were equivalent to the three cities which were on the Eivat Yarden. So together we have six cities of Ohr Miklat. In Ohr Miklat, two things Ohr Miklat took, two functions. There was a function of, as we said, the person who killed the Shoigag, he took refuge in the Ohr Miklat. This was also the place we know Shevet Levi did not have Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ohr Miklat were given, also the Shevet Levi, they lived in the Ohr Miklat. So when this murderer, or the Shoigag murderer, came to Ohr Miklat, he was in touch with Shevet Levi. What did Shevet Levi do? They didn't, you know, they didn't work. They sat and learned. They were what we'd call today, maybe Kohen Younger Light, we would call them today. That's what they did. That's what the Shevet Levi did. They were Oistik in Avodas Hashem and close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I imagine all the centers of yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael there was a big center of yeshiva in Ohr Miklat also, because that's what Shevet Levi was, that's what they were doing. So it was a good influence for whoever needed a tikkun, a kapara for Ohr Miklat, that he should go to this place where he should be surrounded by people who Tamir Chachamim, Ovdei Hashem, Yer Shemayim, and he would probably be a good influence. So this is the same inyan as we started off. You know, he's outside there and dangerous. People want to kill him. People want to take revenge on him. So he runs to Ohr Miklat. That's his tereni, you know, his now refuge. However, once he's there, we would expect from this person, he's there for kapara, he's there for a reason. If you kill B'shoigag, there's a reason, you know, he needs a tikkun. So we would expect him to, Yoram Roshi, to flourish and to work on his Avodas Hashem, and he should be metaken himself and have a kapara, and that's the way he should grow in Yerushalayim and have a tikkun. That would also be an inyan of being in the Ohr Miklat, and that would be a good place for him to do such a thing. Oh, so now we have in the Torah like this. This is a big chiddush. It says, "V'im yarchiv Hashem alekecha." If Hashem will, you know, make us wider, make us strong, our territory larger. Kasha nishba l'avoy secho, like Hashem promised l'avoy secho. He will give you, he will fulfill his promise that he promised Avraham Avinu, everything that he had promised Avraham Avinu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayim that, then it says like this, kisishma, another condition, kisishma es kol ha-mitzvah azos la'asoy, so you will guard and keep all the mitzvahs asher anochi mitzavecho hayom, le'ahavo es Hashem elokecho, le'ahavo es Hashem elokecho, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo leches b'jochav kol hayomim, then v'yosavta lecho oid sholosh orim al sholosh eile. I would like you to add another three cities. What is this referring to? Which time in history is this referring to? And what's the point of these? What's going on here? So Rashi tells us, it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu 10 amim, 10 areas. Seven of them, we already gave us in Eivat Yarden and Eretz Yisrael, the Chiti, the Prizi, the seven Amim, we have already, it was stages. First it was Eivat Yarden, and then we got Eretz Yisrael. But there are three cities, three Amim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, that he, who had not yet, up to today, had not yet fulfilled. That's the Keni, Knizi, the Kadmoni, which the Chazal tell us that Kadmoni is Edom, and Keni, and Knizi is Amon and Moyof. We know that Lo'osid Lova, when Mashiach comes, all the Mashiach Ba'atzim, we're going to get Har Esa, we're going to get Edoim, we're going to get Amon and Moav. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it to Avraham Avinu. This is part of, you know, greater Israel, greater Eretz Yisrael is Keni, Knizi, Amon, Moav, and Edom, which has not yet been fulfilled. This is a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, has not yet been fulfilled. Says the Pasuk here, when Le'osid Lovoi, this will happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yachav Hashem Kecho, Kasha Nishba La'Besach, like he promised you. Which is that? That's the three Amim that we still are lacking, Amon, Moav, and Edoim, then I would like you to put in each one of these places a city or Ohr Miklat, so that the Ohr Miklat in these cities. That is Pasuk over here. Now, we have something very interesting. This is a Pasuk in the Torah. In Chazal, to the best of my knowledge, I haven't done a word, a search in the computer. You know, today everybody, it's in 1 second, you can find everything.
From, as far as I know, Chazal, he's in Babli, don't bring down this Inyan. And the Rambam mentions it. And this, the only place I'm aware of the Rambam who mentions Halacha, which is not brought in Babli, which is directly from the Torah. Usually the Rambam's, or the Halacha, the Rambam, his source is the Torah Shabbat Peh. This Halacha that the Rambam brings down, he's bringing down Hilchos Melachim, is brought down directly from this Pasuk. The Rambam brings down something that he tells us from the Pasuk. The Rambam is, interestingly, it's not in Hilchos Arim Miklat, and Hilchos Yemois HaMashiach. When the Rambam speaks about Yemois HaMashiach, he says that this. He says, interestingly enough, we know that in Novi, there are so many psukim about Yemois HaMashiach, full, all over Novi, about La'aset Lova Yemois HaMashiach. In the Torah, it's not mentioned many places in the Torah about Yemois HaMashiach. There are a few hints here and there, in the Pasha and Pasha's Bolok, in Dorach Torech of Miyakov, the Rambam quotes those. Another pasuk also quotes, but there are not many psukim in the Torah that speak about Yemois HaMashiach. Says the Rambam, there is one place which is a proof to Yemois HaMashiach in the Torah, and that's this parsha that we just now spoke about. The parsha of Arim Miklot is a proof to us from the Torah of Yemois HaMashiach. Says the Rambam like this. He says, "Af ba'Arim Miklot hu oima." Concerning Arim Miklot, it says, "Ki yachiv Hashem elokecha es gvulecha." Hashem will expand your gvul, your boundaries. "V'yosafta lecha oid sholosh orim al sholosh eile." You should add another because you now expanded your territory, so we need more Arim Miklot. Says the Rambam like this. "Umei oilam lehoyot of us there." This hasn't happened yet. Ammon, Moav, and Edom is still under, we don't own. We're not in control of Ammon, Moav, and Edom. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened. It's not today either. So, but there's a possible turret that says it's going to happen. When is this going to happen? Says the Rambam. He says, "V'loitziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toyhu." HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't command us commandings. He says, when this happens, you should go and put the Arim Miklot over there. It doesn't for nothing. It must be that it's going to happen. This is a proof that La'osid Lovei Mashiach is going to come, and he will go and conquer these three areas. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch says he's going to conquer the whole world, but specifically as an Eretz Yisrael, as a kiyum of this halacha of Nishba La'avei Secha, our territory would be expanded to Ammon, Moav, and Edom. Says the Rambam, this is a proof. This parsha is a proof to us for Yemois HaMashiach. Now, the obvious question, many Mefarshim speak about this, is we know that Yemois HaMashiach, Yemois Hashem, there won't be Ritzichas, the Psukim, so many Psukim about it. So, you know, the Gazev in Akeves, and it'll be Sholem, and it'll be in the Ruach HaTomi Mavi Me'oretz. So, says the Meshech Chachma, the Meshech Chinuch, it'll be Emes, Toiv, they'll only be good, and Emes, and Sholem. So, he says, Kavachoyma, there will not be anybody who will kill Bemezid, definitely not. And even Beshoigek, the Farshim say, there won't be such a concept of somebody killing somebody. Beshoigek, is also a bad, it's also a negative thing. It won't happen. If the Zev won't kill the Keves, so Reuven won't kill Shimon, Beshoigek. So what's the point in having Arim Miklot, La'osid Lavoi, if everything will be fine? What's the point? That's the question that the Minchas Chinuch poses. So the Minchas Chinuch says a very interesting thought. He says like this. He says, we look at the Arim Miklot as a place where we said that somebody murders somebody, he has to run there as a refuge. But he says, a chiddush, a tremendous chiddush. He says, it's true that that's one of the functions of Arim Miklot, but it's not necessarily the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Arim Miklot. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't understand. There are certain things which are Gzeiras HaKosov, but we don't understand why. We don't know why. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in Eretz Yisrael that there should be 9 cities of Arim Miklot. We call them Arim Miklot. This is what they could do, potentially, and they sometimes do that they take and refuge for somebody who kills somebody Shayud. But it's not necessarily the reason behind the Arim Miklot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had these cities in mind that he would like in Eretz Yisrael, in Evayan to be 3 cities, in Eretz Yisrael today, 3 cities of Arim Miklot, and La'osid Lavoi, when Eretz Yisrael will be expanded, to be another 3 cities. He says, the Rav Meshech Chachma says, even without that question, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Mashiach, like we said, is going to, he says, Osid Eretz Yisrael, Shet Espashat B'chol O'ilam. Eretz Yisrael will be, the whole world will have Kedush Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, you're going to have in China, you're going to have Arim Miklot. You're going to have there. No, there's no Arim Miklot. It's only in Ammon, Moav, and Edom. Obviously, he says the Meshech Chachma, that it's not, sorry, not Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Minchas Chinuch, he said it's the point of the Aron Miklat has much more of a different, there's a different function, which we maybe today don't understand what's the reason, but there is, the reason behind it, but there is an Inyan that Eretz Yisrael should have Aron Miklat spread around its territory, and therefore, the Asa Lover, when Eretz Yisrael will be greater, this area, Kaponim, there is a cost of, and there are differences, there will be differences between the 10 Amamim and the whole world. He says you can't go and conquer the whole world before you conquer these three Amamim. It's obviously more, I wouldn't say more Eretz Yisrael, but there is an Indian, Akash Baruch Hu wants the way the geography of Eretz Yisrael should look is that there should be 9 Aron Miklat in these 33 places. That's his chiddush. You know, to me it was a tremendous chiddush. And not only was it a tremendous chiddush, I mean, I could maybe explain it, like we said before, that Aron Miklat wasn't only just the place of refuge for somebody who a Ritzeach Peshoigag, it was also a place where the Levium lived, and that's where they, you know, that's where they, the place for them, and that's where they learned, and they, you know, it is Hashem. So maybe that's the reason behind it. I don't know what the reason behind it. He doesn't say, he just says it's Gzeiras HaKosov. That could be the reason. Anyway, that's his Chiddush. I have a big problem with this Chiddush. I mean, I had a kasha on it, let's say, for many years. And maybe actually it's Chosov the Tzibur, right? Just yesterday I thought maybe you could answer. But the question I have is, there's a Gemara in Makkos, and the Gemara says, speaks about this, and the Gemara says there were three cities in Eretz Yisrael, and there were three in Eva Yadin. Now we know in Eva Yadin there were only 2.5 Shvatim, and in Eretz Yisrael there were 9.5 Shvatim. So that doesn't make sense, says the Gemara. Here's, right? Here the 9.5 Shvatim, and then 2.5 Shvatim. God, Reuven, and Hasmanasha. So why do they need the same amount of Aron Miklat to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, right, as you mentioned, Shchichei Shani Gilad, Shchichei Rotzchim. There are more Shchichei Rotzchim. Okay, even the Rishonim speak about it. Rotzchim is at the Bemezit. What else do the Shaitik there are? You know, they speak about it. The back of the Gemara was bothered by a question, right? I'm going to focus more on the question. Why do we need Aron Miklat in Eva Yadin if it doesn't, you know, there's less in the Havim, in the Gemara, less Rotzchim than there are in Eretz Yisrael? According to Minchas Chinuch, that Kasha shouldn't really be a Kasha. Because the Asad Lava also there's a Kasha. Why do we need Aron Miklat? Says the Minchas Chinuch, there is a Kosov. We don't know. Shmuel decided he wants to have in this place three cities, right? Even though Eretz Yisrael is the whole world, China, wherever you are, he wants, in this area, he wants three cities. So what's the Gemara's question? Why do we have three cities in Eva Yadin? Answer, Gzeiras HaKosov, the same way like Asad Lava, it's a Gzeiras HaKosov. So what's the big question? Why is the Gemara bothered by this, according to the Minchas Chinuch? This is a big question that I had on the Minchas Zid Mechalach. I would like to suggest maybe, if you look at the Psukim, it's interesting that when he speaks about the three Aron Miklats in the Eva Yadin, it says the purpose in the pasuk. It says Lonus Shama Ritzech. So the pasuk tells us that the purpose of Aron Miklat is Lonus Shama Ritzech. If you look at the three Aron Miklats in Eretz Yisrael, it says Lonus Shama Ritzech. However, if it says in the last three, with the Asa Lavoi, there's no mention about Lonus Ritzech. There's no mention. So it could be that the Minchas Chiddush Chiddush, that the Tachlis Aron Miklat, the Asa Lavoi, is not Ritzech, is based on the fact that the Torah does not mention in the three cities of Asa Lavoi that their Tachlis is Lonus Ritzech, and therefore he says that that's Gzeiras HaKosov without Lonus Ritzech. However, the first two sets of Aron Miklat, there it says Mefurish in the Torah, the reason is Lonus Shama Ritzech. So it might be that the Gemara in Makkos is asking the question, because the Gemara in Makkos is taking on that even though we could accept the Minchas Chiddush, that L'Osed Lavoi Aron Miklat is just a Gzeiras HaKosov, however, because the Pasuk in the Torah says Mefurish, and the first six Aron Miklats are Lonus Shama Ritzeach, so it would be mashma that the Tachlis of the Aron Miklat that we have today, or time in Eretz Yisrael, was Lonus Ritzeach, and therefore based on that, the Gemara's question is a relevant question, why doesn't make sense. It's not necessarily a contradiction to the Minchas Chinuch.
According to your kasha, we won't need Aron Miklat in Eretz Yisrael or in Eva Yadin either be my son Mashiach.
Right.
That could all be misbattle.
Right. It could, but
yeah. We only need Lonus Shama Ritzeach now.
Ah, you're saying
Lonus Lavoi.
You're saying because my territory.
Yeah.
Because my territory.
The Lonus Lavoi, when there are no Rotskin, you don't need any.
Yeah, well, that's a very, very good. That's a very nice point. I like that.
It should be the statement, but they're adding in another three.
No, but what he's saying is that if the tachlis of Aron Miklat, it was Rotzchim and not just the Gzeiras HaKosov, so therefore Lo Asid Lover, we should not. No one speaks about it, but that's a very, very, very valid point. Yes. So we might have to, yes, but I'm sure on Michael's going to say it's Gzeiras HaKosov, even Lo Asid Lover, because it is a mashmot. It says, we are Saftelcha oid, extra, mashma that they're still there. That's a very good one. Thank you. Nicely. Very nice. Okay. So that's the teretz of the Minchas Chinuch. The teretz of the Meshech Chachma is a very, very original teretz. He also asks this question, a very original teretz. He says like this. He says, we know that Yemois Mashiach, the pasuk says, Novi in Yeshaya, it says, Be'ito Achishena. I will bring Mashiach Be'ito in its right time. Achishena, I will herald it, I will hurry it up. So Chazal asks, Be'ito or Achishena? Is it going to be in the time, whenever Yemois Mashiach is supposed to be, or Achishena, or will I hurry it up? Question. Chazal say, it depends. Zochu, if Chazal Yisrael, it's a doi kula zacha, if we call Chazal Yisrael make tshuva, and we all be zoicha, then we can bring Yemois Mashiach earlier. That's Achishena. I will hurry it, I will bring it earlier than its appointed time. However, if we are not zoicha, then Be'itza, we know ultimately, even though people will be kuloi, there is an appointed time, Yemois Mashiach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided this is the time when I'm going to bring Mashiach. That's the Be'itza, Achishena, the two zmanim. Says the Meshech Chachma, tremendous chiddush. He says like this, he says, all divrei Chazal, there's another big contradiction that they speak about, the Rambam, he says, he also has his mahalach on that, that we know all these psukim, the Gazev and Keves, and the different Shino Ateva, there won't be Mulchomers, there won't be this, everything. There's many Chazal about the Rosh Hashem will be a completely different type of atmosphere that we have today. Mitzat Sheni, we have a Gemara in Brochus, Shmuel, and Daflama Dalad on the base. Shmuel says, Ein bein oylem azel yemois Mashiach elo shibud malchus bilvad. That means oylem kemen hargoy hoylech. The world will continue functioning. We'll have everything will continue. The only difference will be we won't be under shibud malchus. We will be the rulers of the world. Mashiach, he will be the ultimate ruler, and he will conquer the world. He will be in charge. That's the only difference. But otherwise, everything will continue normally. You know, we'll get up in the morning, we'll run to get our bread, and we'll get our bills, and the tax man's going to call us. Everything's going to carry on. We have tax man. Maybe Shiva's Malchus. Maybe that comes under Shiva's Malchus. I'm not sure. Maybe municipality tax. Municipality tax, maybe. I'm not sure about HMR. So how do we reconcile these two things? Says the Meshech Chachma this. He says that if he comes in the appointed time, there's a time, there's a mahalach, you know, the world is going, and a certain time by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Mashiach will come, that's when there will be a Shinu HaTeva, that's called Yemois Mashiach, as it's supposed to be, or as it's, you know, the Teva, and then things will be different, because Zev and Keves, the wolf will live at peace with the Keves, and all these, you know, beautiful promises that we have of Yemois Mashiach, that's going to happen at that point in time, whenever it's going to be, because of Yemeinu. However, if Mitzvah Hashem, in the double Amen, if Klal Yisrael will make tshuva, it'll be Dei Kula Zakai, and we will bring the Yemois Mashiach earlier than its appointed time, that's when Chazal are talking about, and Chazal are telling us, that Ein Bein Yemois Mashiach, Oilem Azeh Yemois Mashiach, Elo Shibu Mvach Zubat. Meaning, it's a tremendous chiddush, that if we bring Yemois Mashiach early, because this is not an actual appointed time that for Yemois Mashiach, so we can bring Mashiach early, and then he'll be here, and we'll be Mashiach, the Shibud Malchus will be bottled. However, yes, you have a question.
Now, in this peaceful time when Mashiach comes, maybe there will be no such thing as a Goel Adam anymore. He won't want to take revenge against an accidental accident. The whole concept might fall away.
Oh, the guy, yeah, he could be, but maybe he wouldn't want to do that. We have
maybe
to still be.
Anyway, I mean,
it may be, but maybe you will have one person who won't feel like you. So, you always have to worry about that one person.
Is there any incident enough of somebody taking revenge as a
Golodon?
I don't think we do.
I'm not aware, but it's real life in the Torah, so the.
So what's the difference?
No, so I'm finished. Let me finish. So the Meshech Chachma says like this. So he says this. He says this pasuk that's the answer to the question. He says it's true that La'asid Lovoy Mashiach comes. There won't be any. Nobody won't be Goel Adam. There won't be any murderers. There won't be any. Nobody will kill Mashiach. That's referring to the time of the Be'ito in the real time of Mashiach. However, if we bring Mashiach early, because it's not the real time Mashiach, so we will be in control. We won't have the Shibud Malchus. Yeah, we won't have the Shibud Malchus. However, then. And then there might, yes, be people who will kill B'shoigeg, and there might, yes, be people who will want to take revenge. Not many, I imagine. I imagine that Mashiach will be Machzeh Pivot Shuvah, and he'll. But there might still be that one person who does it. even though you said it, you know, we're not aware of the Goel Adam. But there might still be that this. Therefore, that's his answer. That's how he answers the question that we need. L'osed lobet, this pasuk was referring to osed lobet, not referring to the be'ita, it's referring to the achi shenu.
So in that period, we will only have Amon, Moav, and Edom, and not the rest of the world.
Why? Why?
Because those are the three extra Orem Mikvah that you're going to provide for.
Right, but
the
Mashiach will.
It's your most Mashiach.
Yes, but Mashiach will.
Time.
So Mashiach might.
I only need three Orem Mikvah, and only in those areas.
Right.
Right.
So.
Which means that we will be Mispashit, but only over those three areas.
We
in,
will
in the Achishanah period.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It could be. I mean, when it says that Mashiach is going to conquer the whole world, it might be that Mashiach will wait till the Itzah to do that. Because otherwise, we have a problem. If he's going to conquer the whole world and there'll be a Chas V'Shalom Ritzicha in China,
yeah.
How is the Ritzach going to run to Armiklat to Amon Moav? The girl that might get to him.
But you've got to say that he will conquer Amon Moav.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. It's going to be Miskayim Be'ita or Achishena, the Olam Hashem Hatzion. That's what Mashiach says. But this passage talks about us conquering Amon Moav and Edom is relevant if Hashem Mashiach comes before the point of time, and that's when there's going to be our mikvah, because Olam Kumin Hoga Olech, the world will carry on as it is today, besides Shibat Malchus. But he just brought up an interesting point that then I would imagine that Mashiach might wait to conquer the whole world. He might possibly wait to for Moshe Mashiach, otherwise there'll be a problem. That's another good point. Okay, not that much time, so I'm going to have to be makatzer. I'll just say a small thought. I'm going to be very, very makatzer on this week's parasha, that there's the lav lo yovi amoyni v'amoyvi b'chkal Hashem. And the pasuk says like this, why not? There's a lav, you can't marry an amoyni. At Esedoritz, the pasuk says like this, it says two reasons. Al dvar lo yovi amoyni v'amoyvi b'chkal Hashem, gam doy asiri, even the 10th generation lo yovi lem b'chkal Hashem. Right, these are the Gong Amon Moav. Why not? Al dvar ashlei kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim baderech batez Mitzrayim, because they didn't come forth to us and bring us when we left Mitzrayim. You know, they came past the Amon Moav, which we weren't allowed to yet conquer, and they didn't bring us forth water. And then it says ba'asher socha lecha es bilam ben bo'oy, and they also rented. They wanted to destroy us with bilam ben bo'oy. Now the question, the various questions over here. Which are posed. I'm going to be Mekath, I'll just say just the main question. The main question the Ramban asks over here is, he says, he found the apostle in Dvorim, where it says, the conversion apostle says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Amoin, and he said to them, please, Ebra, let me go past your land, and we will, and give us water and drink, and you know, we will even pay for it, in the same way as we had Esav and Moab that fed us with water and drink and food. So it says in the conversion apostle that Moab did give Klal Yisrael water and drink. So why does the pasuk here say Lo yovi amoni umoavi, you must not marry amoni, because Lo kidvo eschem belechem and v'mayim? And we have a contradiction in Parashat Devarim. It says Mefurish that Moav at least did give us water, sell us water and drink. That's the question that Ben Ezra asks and the Ramban asks. So Ramban brings a territory, says Rabin Tartzin. The territory says no. He says it's true that then the passing Dvarim, it says they sold us. They sold us bread and water. However, here this passage says like Kidmu, they didn't come and give it to you b'chinam, free. They should have come to Klal Yisrael, the 600,000 people, and given us free water and food to drink. And that's why up until today there's a lav lo yovi amoni b'chal Hashem. The Ramban brings this territory and he says it's so rochak to understand such a thing. But for that, it's in their full right to ask for money. You're giving feed to 600,000 people, it's full right to ask for money. Maybe not charge them. Sorry?
I think he said we would pay them, didn't we?
Yes.
Moshe said we would pay you for
that. Yes, he said, right. But here, there's a tie in Amon Moav that they should have given to us b'chinam. And therefore, because the Ramban speaks about that they need a korsa toif because loit owes a korsa toif to Avram. Avram saved him, but he still is asked that as a question. So I would just like to bring down very b'kitzur because the time is running out. Teretz Chassidus Shabshat from the Kedushas Levi. He says a beautiful thought. He says like this. He says that we know that all the Shefa on the whole world comes to Klal Yisrael, and through Klal Yisrael, it's dispersed to the whole world. The Goyim, all the Amim, The shefa that they have is schus klal yisrael, but the main shefa is kind of what's klal yisrael, and through them they get the shefa. That's the way things work. That's what Kadosh Levi says. He says like this. He says, when Moav wanted to come and be machti klal yisrael, they were denying this principle, this idea. By being machti klal yisrael and making them sin and bringing the level down klal yisrael, they would now lose that mila of being the one, the source of all the shefa of the world. Right? And therefore, he says like this, he says, he doesn't say it's not posh pshat. I will soon try and just bring it into posh pshat. He says, means that you didn't put Klal Yisrael first. You didn't understand and agree that Klal Yisrael, any lechem or mayim that you have, is first the shepherd comes to Klal Yisrael, and afterwards it comes to the Chol Amim. You didn't, by wanting to be machti Klal Yisrael and destroy Klal Yisrael, you were denying this principle, and that's why, for the fact that you deny this principle of Klal Yisrael, that they are, you know, the source of all the shefa from the world, that's why we can't be in touch with Amon and Moab. That's the Kedushas Levi, beautiful thought. So I just wanted to say one thing, according to this Kedushas Levi, yeah, we can now understand that even in a Poshta way, even if we say Kidmu, that's not the way he said it, without this idea. He says, Enachanama, he says, what's the Rabban's Kasha on this Pshat? How were we, why were Amon and Moab responsible to come out to Klal Yisrael and give them Bechinam, water and Mayim? Of course you are. Your home water and Mayim that you have is only Bischus Klal Yisrael, Bischus this Am, you everything that you have, you owe to them. So obviously, there's not a question, why are we mechuyev to give b'chinam? Yes, if you would understand that the whole shefa that you have is b'schuros klal yisrael, then you would grant the klal yisrael, say, thank you, klal yisrael, thank you for being there, thank you for being over the Hashem, Yir Hashem, thank you for being the source of all the hashpos, tovus, and klal yisrael. I'd like to conclude with wishing everybody a ksiv achsim ha-tova, wishing b'zoicha to Moshe Mashiach achishenu. We should have it as soon as possible. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.